that's designed for God's design for man's future. Looking at that this evening, chapter 3, and then we're just going to come back and highlight in certain areas there. So it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat the fruit from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, who was what he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat from the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve, because she became the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and to take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. So in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And in there, we're starting to get just a picture, a glimpse of the devil, and how subtly he will work through us or through the serpent, and how he wants to get between us and God. And the devil's main point, his main purpose, is to cast doubt on God's word. He wants to cast doubt on God's word. So we see that he enters the serpent and he uses the serpent to do his work. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, well, 16 and 17. And this is what God had told man. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And so here, that's what God said. And so we have to look at, so then why the temptation? I mean, they're in the garden. Why do they have to be tempted by that? And you see, when God created man, we notice that he created man innocent, but not righteous. He have to be tested. We have to be tried. We will find out. We'll look at some of these comparisons. We'll see what happens to Jesus, and we will see what righteousness is compared to innocence. But man was innocent. They were innocent. They didn't know evil at that time. And so that the temptation was there so that they could prove themselves. And you're going to prove yourself, your character, you develop your character through temptation, through trials. And what's going to happen? Is it going to make you, or is it going to break you? So that's what we're going to be looking at now. So it's Genesis verses 3, or chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. It says, "You will not," this is the devil speaking, "you will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So here we see that the devil again, and it's suddenly, he's working his words in to what God has said. He's changing it just a little bit, but he's putting his words in. Satan wants to be our God. He wants to be our God. He wants us to follow God. And so he's just changed it just a little bit there from what God has said. And also, he is also kind of questioning God and saying that, I think questioning his righteousness and his holiness, that once you eat of this, you too will become God. You will be just like him. You will have that. And again, that's just temptation. We're going to look at this a little later. These are things that he still does to us today. I mean, it works. So he still does this, and he does that. And so, by saying that, again, like I say, Eve, for whatever reason, both my wife have talked about, but she adds to God's word when she said, "You must not touch it all, or you will die." Again, don't have a scriptural thing about it, but we have some thoughts on that. But she adds to God's word. She adds to that. I think the devil then knew he had an end, because he obviously he knew what God had said. But she had added that part to it. And again, I just don't have scripture to back what we think, but there are reasons that we think how that happened and why. But I think the devil saw his end there when she added that. He knew. They didn't say that. So now I want to look at verses 14 and 15. This is where God puts a curse on the serpent. It says, "So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush her head and you will strike his heel." So here we see that obviously, however the serpent was when God had created him, he wasn't crawling on his belly. He wasn't eating that dust. God put that curse upon him and did that. So the serpent was different. As we see, he was very crafty. God had made him very crafty. He wasn't that. But I think a key thing here is that when we read this, and it says in verse 15, it says, between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. I see here that it doesn't say the offspring of man. It says your offspring of the woman. And I think that, well, I think that is pointing towards the virgin birth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's pointing towards that virgin birth. But man is not going to be a part of that. That's God working through the woman. And it's going to be her seed. And obviously Jesus comes from Mary. And that's the virgin birth. I think this is pointing to that virgin birth. And also, God's already telling man, there's going to be a long struggle between good and evil. We're going to be in a very long struggle. But fortunately, we know God wins. At the end, he wins. So, but again, for man's salvation, God is already, this plan has already been in place. It's already pointing to Jesus Christ, and we're going to start to see that unfold here. And so I'm going to read this again will describe some of the conflict that we'll see between good, the sons of God, and the sons of the devil. And I'm going to read, it's not in the notes, I don't believe so. 1 John 3 verses 7 through 10. dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right and righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remain in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. So again, we can see the contradiction between the child of God and the child of the devil. And I want to read Genesis 3:7 now. And here it says, the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So here when it says the eyes of both of them were open, I believe their conscience was awakened. God has created us with a conscience, and obviously they didn't need that conscience when there was no sin, no evil amongst them, but once they ate of that fruit, they knew they had done something wrong. And their conscience was open, and I believe that's where the eyes came. They knew. Now they know good and evil, and I did something bad. And in Genesis chapter, or yeah, in Genesis verse 6, it says, the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And I'm going to read 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And here we see, it says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, come not from the Father, but from the world. So here we're seeing that this is how Satan is going to work. We just saw that, we see that, I don't think I'm going to read. We're all familiar with Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And I just want to compare the temptations that Satan attempted to tempt Jesus with, and how that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, and how those methods are still working, and they're still working today. And again, those are found in Matthew chapter 4, Mark chapter 1, and in Luke chapter 4. And it's all pretty much the story of Jesus going out into the wilderness and being tempted. And we see that when we see that the devil attempts to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, he uses the same tools. And so first, when the devil says, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread, this was an appeal to the flesh, just as Adam and Eve saw that the tree was good for food. So again, used it with Jesus. And I always find that, I think the devil was looking for a rag. Jesus was obviously physically very weak at that time. And I think he was looking for a reaction, if you are the Son of God. He knew exactly who Jesus was, but the demons knew who he is. But I think he was looking to get a reaction, kind of take Jesus off his game. But Jesus, again, is showing us what is righteous through his actions. And then we see that when the devil said to Jesus, throw yourself down from the highest part of the temple, this was an appeal to the religious side of man, just as Adam and Eve saw that the tree was desirable for gaining knowledge. And so that is something that as man always, to gain knowledge, to know more. And again, I think that's what the devil was tempting Jesus with. I always find it amazing. Jesus created everything. It was through him that everything was created, and I don't know where the devil gets his thoughts, where I'll give this to you, it's already his. But he has to do what he has to do. Then the devil shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in all their splendor. And this was appeal to the eyes, just as the tree was pleasing to the eyes. And here, we see that how the devil works is he works from the outside in. He uses things on the outside to win you over inside. And God's plan, he starts from the inside. He starts working on on your heart, and then His words start coming out into the outside, but He starts from the inside out. Again, two opposite ways that are going, two opposite things that are at work here. And so now I want to look at where they sewed the fig leaves together. Verse 7, it says, oh, I'm sorry, that was verse 8. I had it backwards on there. Or no, maybe that wasn't. Maybe I had it backwards on there. So the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So now, they made coverings for themselves. This was something that they decided to do. And they did this because they felt shame now. They didn't feel shame before, but they felt shame. They knew they had done something wrong. And what I find here, it's just amazing to me as we read on later, there's never a confession of sin. Neither one, there's a lot of finger pointing, which I'm number one at that. But I think for a majority of us here, we have all confessed that we are sinners and that we need Jesus Christ to come into our lives, and we have to submit ourselves to Him. And I don't see that here. I see just a lot of tapping the buck. You know, the man blames the woman, and the woman blames the serpent. And there's no real confession of sin. And they made their aprons or their coverings with fig leaves. And again, that just concealed them. But it didn't cover them from the sin. And we're going to see how God rectified that. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among in the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And so here, the garden, when we read it in the very beginning, we see that this was a place of peace. And it was a place of fellowship with God. They walked with God. This was a very beautiful place, very intimate for man and for God. But now, since they have sinned, evil has entered in, they see, not so much that they see, they have made now the garden, they feel this garden is a place of fear. And now they're fearful of God, and they're hiding from God. They're not walking with God anymore. And what's beautiful here is God draws them out. He seeks them. And for each and every one of us, and all through the Bible as we read, men and women are drawn to God. Man is usually not looking for God. We go back and we look at Abraham, Moses, they're not looking to God. But God calls them. He draws them out. And that's what we see here. And I think God is showing that each and every one of us, that's why we're here today, is because God has drawn us out. He has called us. And we will obey and answer that call to be with Him. God loves man, and so He seeks us, and He wants a relationship with us, and He'll call us out. And then the curse on the ground, it says, "Adam, because you listened to your wife, and you ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from, curse of the ground because of you, and through toil you will eat from the fruit of it all the days of your life." Here, man now he's going to face death. He's going to die. He's going to die a physical death. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, it says, "And dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." So in here, this is telling us that our bodies, our fleshly bodies, will turn back to dust. God created us from dust. But everybody's spirit is going to come before God. Your spirit is going to come before God. And that's where, obviously, we need a mediator. We need a mediator to come before God. Because our sin, if you're not inside Christ, if you're outside of the body, God is a just God. Cannot have sin in His presence. He's going to cast you out. And so man was spiritually lost from the moment he ate of the fruit. He was spiritually lost. And so now we're going to start looking at the covering of that. And in verse 21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." And here, in order to have the garments of skin, something had to be slayed. Something had to be sacrificed or killed, an animal, for that, so that God could have the skin to do that. And I just want to look at three things that compare God's garments to man's garments made of leaves. And here we see that God provided a skin over them. There was something between them. And whenever you approach God, man must have an adequate covering to approach God. And we cannot come to God on the basis. Again, Adam and Eve were trying what they could do. They were putting these fig leaves together. That was their design. That wasn't God's design. The second thing is, God must provide the covering. God has to provide that covering, and He already has. He's done that through Jesus. And the covering is obtained only through the death of Jesus. We must have a substitute between ourselves and God's wrath against sin. And that's what we have there. That's already, again, like I said, this is continuing to point towards Jesus in all things. And in verse 24, it says, after he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. I can tell you, early on, I always thought this was a roadblock. I thought this was a roadblock that did not allow man to go back to God. I used to do this, but now as I read this, and I actually read verse 22, God did this to protect man because he loved him. And that was to protect man from eating from the tree of life, where he would live forever in a sinful state. God drove them out, and again, this was out of love. He wanted to protect them. So that again, like I said, I used to think that was a roadblock, but no, it was an act of love. And when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, I'm sure if they looked back, when they looked back, you saw these two cherubim, a flashing sword of fire, and probably some blood, if not the carcass of the sacrifice. And that, I honestly think, in a way, that's so very beautiful, because that's what was there. When you looked at the mercy seat, you had two cherubim, and then you put blood. They would sprinkle the blood in the middle. And again, I think God, in all his wisdom, has already pointed to the future that there is going to be a sacrifice for all men out here. And so again, this has been God's plan. This has been his plan for our salvation from the very, very beginning. And we have now the blood that comes from Jesus Christ and makes us pure and acceptable in God's sight. And so tonight, as we close this lesson, again, we just want to offer you the opportunity. If you don't know what the gospel is, we would love to share that with you. If you have any questions about scriptures and the plan of salvation, again, we'd like to have a moment just to share that with you. And also, if you're not a member of the New Testament Church, we can tell you how that happened and how God will add you to his church. We don't have a church where you join, but God adds you to it. Maybe you need prayers from this congregation, special petition on your behalf, or family members. We'd like to offer you again that invitation as we stand.